inside the small green Catholic church in the village of Diabo, the choir sings God Saved Me from Death. In this setting, the hymn is chilling. A few hundred meters from this church, down a grassy path, and at the edge of the forest, is a mass grave.
C'est ici qu'ils ont jeté le corps et ils ont mis le sable dessus. Mais nous on a vérifié.
Buried here in this sand pit, the bodies of 24 young men. Most were from the northern Djula ethnic group. One night last October, they were massacred by villagers of the Baolé ethnic group with acid, axes, and sticks.
Un jour, des éléments m'ont trouvé ici. Ils m'ont dit, qu'est-ce qui se trouve dans votre...
82-year-old Yemen Leonard Kwame is the village chief in Diabo. He's from the Baolé ethnic group. I found him sitting on a plastic garden chair under a mango tree, swathed in a regal red toga. He said two Baolé youths had orchestrated the massacre, and he denied villagers' allegations that he had given the two youths the order to kill.
Je les ai pas dit de tuer. Il y a Didier, l'auteur de Didier, quand il y a le vote, c'est lui qui réunit tous les...
One of the culprits, says the chief, was a young man who organized the last election campaign in the village for President Laurent Gbagbo. His assistant was another Baolé youth who went by the nickname Gbagbo. Both of them then fled south across the ceasefire line into the safety of government-held territory. I asked the chief if he thought the Djula people were foreigners. He said no. The Djula were human beings like everyone else. But then I asked him if he thought the Djula people were Ivorian citizens.
Ah, ça c'est l'État qui connaît. C'est le gouvernement de Dizid. Moi, je suis de telle partie, je suis ça. Ça c'est pas moi.
Now that, he said, is up to the government. He can't say who's Ivorian and who isn't. And here lies the very deep root of this crisis in Ivory Coast, which has already filled dozens of mass graves, like the one here in Diabo. The problem is something called ivoirieté, the concept of Ivorianness promoted by President Gbagbo and his predecessors. It's now enshrined in the Constitution. Anyone whose parents and grandparents were not all Ivorian citizens cannot obtain Ivorian nationality and, of course, the vote. Ivorian reggae star Alpha Blondy has been warning of ethnic war in his country for years.
It's not an ideological war. It is ethnic cleansing. The problem of the Ivory Coast is the lack of true democracy. And if the United Nations want to help, they have to help restore a real democracy. They have to ban this concept of ivoirité. This ivoirité concept is a Nazi concept, black Nazi. They have to stop it. Because Africa is an ethnical rainbow, and you should not use the ethnic argumentation to run for election.
The ethnic rainbow that Alpha Blondy is referring to comes from the fact that borders that the French drew around their former colony brought together ethnic groups that had little in common and cut others off from their ancient ethnic roots in neighboring Guinea, Liberia, Mali, and Burkina Faso. Those peoples migrated freely into Ivory Coast to intermarry with their ethnic kin, and they worked on plantations there. Denied basic property and voting rights for years, they're now fighting back in the ranks of three organized rebel groups. An entire generation in Ivory Coast is now undergoing tough commando training and been given Kalashnikovs, rocket launchers, and pistols to fight. A woman who calls herself Iron Lady, the very first female to join the rebels, says she was part of an opposition political party led by Northerners, and a party that was excluded from elections. She spent time in prison for her opposition politics, so she's given up politics and taken up arms instead.
Parce que j'ai été violée. J'ai été violée, j'étais enceinte de 2 mois. Et ils ont mis matraque dans mon sexe. La grossesse a été passée. Et j'ai juré de me venger. Le MPCI est la bienvenue pour ça. J'ai été maltraité, j'ai grossi le cœur. Je ne peux pas tout dire.
The Iron Lady, like many of the rebels, is from the north of Ivory Coast and also a Muslim. The Islamic community has complained repeatedly to President Gbagbo that his security forces are targeting Muslims who live mostly in the north and whipping up anti-Islamic sentiment among mostly Christian southern ethnic groups.
Allah obata Allah fe.
Inshallah.
Flatara. Bagota ko sera dana.
Inshallah.
Dogore tetu.
Inshallah.
Anti se ka nyina nyimide
na. Here in the rebel held town of Korogo, Muslim rebel leaders join in the special prayers. Their pistols close at hand on their prayer mats. While the imam asks God to convince President Gbagbo to step down. Something the president has said repeatedly he will never do. The rebel leaders have tried for 6 months to come to a negotiated agreement to resolve the problem. In January, President Gbagbo succumbed to French pressure and agreed to relinquish some of his presidential powers and give the rebels key cabinet posts in a new government of reconciliation. Instead, he bought arms and trained more troops and has openly boasted about it. Rebel leaders say they're counting on the UN that brokered the peace deal in France in January to force President Gbagbo to respect it. But as time passes, the humanitarian crisis spreads to neighboring countries. That's why the UN Secretary General sent his special humanitarian envoy to the region. Canadian Carolyn McCaskey.
There's a major humanitarian effect on Guinea and Liberia. Liberia really is a state that's in a terrible condition. But now Liberian refugees are going back to Liberia. That's how bad it is in western Cote d'Ivoire. Liberian refugees are going to Guinea, that has handled the most refugees of any African country, thought it had just gotten rid of the Sierra Leoneans, now has the Ivory Coast refugees arriving.
But McCaskey warns that the biggest danger is in Ivory Coast itself.
We talk about tens of thousands of refugees, hundreds of thousands of displaced, epidemics, the risk of epidemics, the health situation is deteriorating rapidly. Two-thirds of the country is without basic services. The kids are not going to school.
Here in the main rebel-held city of Bouaké, 15,000 kids march through the streets, sweating and singing that they're all children of Ivory Coast. They say they want to go to school. They want President Gbagbo to allow teachers back into the classrooms in rebel-held territory. In the blazing sun, they march down the broad avenues of this rebel stronghold, dodging barricades made of old tires and burnt-out car wrecks on a broad paved avenue in what was once a thriving city that grew rich thanks to those who toiled on its cocoa, coffee, and cotton plantations. But that wealth reached only a small elite. For the past decade since the advent of multi-party politics in this country, southern people have controlled the power and much of the wealth. They've rewritten the constitution to ensure things stay this way, using the heavy-handed concept of Ivorianness. They've whipped up ethnic prejudices that portray northerners as inferiors and the children of migrant workers born and raised here as unwanted foreigners. That's made it easy to incite hatred on their side of the ceasefire line, so that the country is divided in two. And on both sides, youth are armed and lusting for battle, held apart only by 3,000 French troops. The ingredients are all there for a genocide on the scale of Rwanda, something West Africa has never seen. And repeated pleas to the international community to intervene seem to be falling on deaf ears. For Dispatches, I'm Joan Baxter in Bouaké, Ivory Coast.